My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clofus, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clofus. And then there are the small moments, the slow mornings spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code ANDYSCROLLS through December 31. I recycle paper and plastic. Not my opinions. It's so bad.
Some people think I'm glowing, but I'm just sweating.
We love that. We love that summer theme.
August in New York.
August in New York. The worst. Do you think August is the worst month in New York, or do you lean like February?
I think.
Or July?
I think. I'd say the hotter, whatever the hotter of the two is.
August. Right?
And it just like drags on. And like now I think the problem with it is like it used to be like, oh, once August is over, it'll be September. It'll be so nice. But it's not nice in September.
No.
It's still hot. So it's like you drag through August and you're like, also, it's still hot.
And then it's hot in October.
Yes.
And I'm like, where the fuck are we? What's even happening anymore?
I hate it.
Truly.
Like February is not even cold anymore.
I know. Which, quote unquote, I hate because I want this season.
Yes.
Because we want to have changes in temperature.
Yes.
However, there is something to be said for
I don't miss like the polar vortex.
Right.
I do miss snow.
Yeah, no, same. Because there's nothing I love more than looking outside, seeing the snow and knowing this is the excuse. And then I just stay inside and it
feels. Hunker down.
You hunker down and it feels just the energy is calm.
Yeah.
It really is quite lovely. Yeah. Okay, let's bring back snow. If somebody can take care of that for us, that would be incredible. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 5. And I'm so excited to have a return guest back. Just as a heads up, we're recording this. What day of the week is it? Tuesday?
I don't know.
Recording this Tuesday, late-ish morning. There is an expectation, because Bravo put it on the collective Google Cal, that the New York trailer will be dropping today. So we are, y'all will be listening to this on Thursday. So at that point, we would have talked about the trailer and lived our best life. I'm hoping that it drops while we record so we can react to it. But if not, I'm sure I will unpack on a Patreon. So or maybe on an AG Classic. Who's to say?
Who could say?
So that's a really exciting moment. And so is this guest returning to the cloth. You know her as a writer, comedian, and co-host of the podcast Ruined. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Allison Leiby. Allison, how are we?
Hey, I'm fine. I'm kind of like, you know, in the like post-Olympics slump of like, oh, that was something that was on my TV all day, every day.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing but old episodes of New Jersey airing on Bravo during the day. It's a confusing time for my background TV experience.
Yeah, I don't know if the throwback NJ is meant to taunt us, the audience, or the cast.
I feel like it might be the cast.
Yeah, right?
Because like, all this is doing is reminding me that the show used to be watchable.
Right. It's kind of like when a parent just doesn't even lie to you and says, I have a favorite child, and it's not you, it's your brother.
Yeah.
Like, this is, we're watching the brother right now. And that's got to be tough if you are truly anybody who's technically currently in the cast.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's like also like sometimes I've like, because I'll be like putting it on the background while I'm like cleaning up at the end of the day before I'm like shifting into like whatever night is. And it'll like it'll be like a season 5 episode will end and then like we'll roll into something from the last like couple of weeks. And it's like the vibe shift, the difference, like, and I'm not even talking about like the production, how everybody looks, like what, but it's just like that show, like, you know, it's done.
Yeah.
I think.
Do we?
What do you think?
Well, what does done mean?
I think whatever this, like, I think Teresa's got to go.
You do?
Yeah. I think if you're going to keep this show going, Teresa and Jen Aiden probably have to go. I don't know. I was watching Watch What Happens Live with Matt Rogers and Bowen, and like Matt was like, it's a Teresa problem. Like, I think without her, Jen could be like a great housewife. And I don't know if after this season, like she can reintegrate into whatever group exists. And I don't think anybody new coming in is going to want to be like, I'm open to being friends with Jen now that Teresa's got, like, I just don't know that anyone's going to be willing to do that because it's been so toxic.
I also feel like this is probably unfair because it went to the point of physical altercation, but I really think that Jen and Danielle could like figure their shit out and come to a place of being...
You do or don't?
I do. I can come to a place of being frenemies. I just think the temperature in the room is so hot and the things that they're saying to each other or doing to each other are just fucking terrible. But I think some of... You know what? Now that I'm saying it out loud, I don't know that I believe it, because I think Jen Aiden has reached a point. She's done a lot in a seemingly small amount of time. And the level of toxicity that she is exhibiting, it's like she's doing some really poorly done Kenya work.
Yes.
And it's just not, it reaches a point where it's not interesting to watch. She's just delighting in her own, not even demise, but cruelty. And it's just,
she's
not
enjoying
great TV.
It too much for me to feel like she can walk it back.
Right.
And like, I just don't, like, it won't be an acceptable answer, which will be like, if they were to carry on the show and just remove Teresa and maybe someone and like, at, but like kind of just like rework this cast a little bit and keep Jen. I think that Jen would then be like, well, that was all Teresa. I was just doing Teresa's. And it's like, well, that's actually like not going to be enough. But I don't think that she's going to be willing to take any accountability for things that she was actually doing. I think she'll just be like, well, now Teresa's gone, like, like that was kind of what was making me so crazy. Like, I think that she would lean on these like external forces. And it's like, no, it's you. You're a part of this. You're not the whole thing, but you are a part of it.
I also feel
really just thankful that Matt went on Watch What Happens and just said absolutely his pure, honest take. Because I think it's difficult, especially when you're talking about New Jersey, because people get very, very nervous about what is going to happen if they, God forbid, say something negative or constructive about Teresa and Louis and whatever. So I appreciate the fact that he was like, no, this is a problem. Regardless of how you feel, it takes some like incredible chutzpah to say it and to say it, obviously, in front of Andy. It's on Watch What Happens. Right. I just felt like this is nice to have because it feels pretty infrequent to have someone come on the show and genuinely be like, I don't give a shit, or rather, that's not affecting me. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel.
Yes.
That's incredibly rare.
Yeah. And it is a Teresa problem. Like, we all know.
I mean, there are more problems than Teresa, but I don't see how you resolve some of the issues about how dark this show has gotten by keeping her. And it's Louis brings out some of the worst of her, but he has also created a new kind of doing the show that's just different. It's just different.
And I think like Teresa's my biggest issue with her forever is that like I just don't think she's smart enough to be on the show. just to see, and like, because I don't think that it's a doubling down on cruelty. I think it's like she can't put herself in other people's shoes ever. And I don't think it's because she's like, I don't want to apologize and so I won't. But like when Dolores was like, Teresa, you have to understand that like Louis saying that about Marge's son.
Yeah.
Saying that about Marge's son, like, that's bad. And she's like, I don't know. I don't like that is like, that's unresolvable. Like, if she can't be like, I don't agree with him, but I'm still angry, or like, if she can't have some kind of working through, like, acknowledging that people would be hurt by things that are obviously hurtful, I don't know how you move forward with her, because at some point she has to do that in order to like reintegrate if she wants to stay on the show.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I saw on Instagram today that Jackie is doing sort of like a mini pod on on the same RSS feed as her pod with Jen Fessler, which I don't know what the status of that is, but she's doing a pod focusing on like mental health and well-being.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
It is.
I'm sure she has interesting things to say.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that she's necessarily the voice I would look to at this moment to think about like self-care in light of the things that she is allowed to be sacrificed so that she can hide.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of fascinating when you think about protecting someone's self-care and mental health. Well, you haven't done a particularly good job of ensuring that other people feel okay as a result of your actions. But does she... I mean, people are complicated. You know, like she carries multitudes. It's just so unfortunate to see her. It's not even flatline. It's just like to see her absolutely flop and then be like, but I still have a voice, because I'm sure she does. I'm sure what she's going to say is going to be interesting.
Yes.
I may well listen to it. It's just.
There's a piece of me that does like Jackie.
Right.
In some world, in some way.
Not like, in this world.
No.
But in another, one,
world.
Yeah. Men are from Mars. You know, Jackie's from Venus.
Pluto.
Yeah. Like, for real, it's an interesting step, because sure, why can't she find her voice? I just, where was it the last couple years?
Yeah.
What, I don't know. I don't know that, my number one question would be like, who broke you? You know, like, why did you break yourself?
Yeah.
What the choices that she has made are just kind of fascinating. So to think that she's, sure, spinning off into a solo show. I mean, I would be like, is Jen Fessler, does she need a break? Is that what's happening?
Well, that feels like it could be like, you're on your own, kid.
Right. Also, I don't know that they have, and again, I'm not a frequent, I don't know that I've ever listened to their pod before, which is not a mark against their pod. I just don't
there's
think
just
that
too
I have.
Many pods.
Right. There's just too many pods. except for ours.
Except for ours. They are absolutely necessary and culturally relevant at every time.
100%. But I don't know that they've recapped the finale episode. If I was to listen to an episode, that would be the one I would be interested in hearing, especially because they were in two different goddamn rooms.
I mean,
what's the point of having a podcast if you're on two different
if you're not even in the same room for the split quote unquote viewing reunion thing. Like, right. if you're not even together there, then like, what are we doing? Like, we need a podcast of you two talking about that.
Right. I mean, I think it's actually a benefit to the audience that they're not in the same room. Right. I would much rather that. I would rather see Fessler each being giving, like, 100%, especially because Fessler said some interesting shit about how some of her changes of opinion and stuff. And, you know, I think I would be curious to hear it. And this is me saying this by the time this episode comes out, they may have released
maybe that'll
one.
Have dropped. Yeah,
it's entirely possible. I just find all of this very fascinating because, of course, Jackie's going to continue living her life and finding new avenues. I don't begrudge her for it. I'm just kind of bewildered.
Why?
I'm bewildered by
why now? Why this?
I mean, but then it's like my response to that is like, why not? Of course, right. She's going to.
Yeah. I just play and, you know, let her rip.
Right. I just don't. For Jackie, I don't know. I would be so curious to hear. No, I really wouldn't. I can't even lie. To hear more of her thoughts on the season. But I really don't. She kind of left everything on the field. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know what more I really need to hear from her because she's not going to be honest.
Right.
Which is different from me disagreeing with her.
No.
I just don't think she's going to be honest.
No. No, it's going to be a very, like, hindsight is 2020 reliving of things. If she's talking about the past and if she's talking about, like, more general stuff, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Is that, like, I was trying to think, is the only other proper Housewives season and franchise that we didn't do a reunion for was just that awful New York season with,
oh, fuck.
I think that's the only other one where there wasn't a reunion.
Right. Yeah. Which I don't even think when it comes to like worst reunions of all time, I would put the most recent Dallas pretty close to the top when Brandy had to appear on a screen and it felt the call was coming from like literally 2054. Like it was this strange, weird, techie, sad, depressing thing.
Yes.
That might be the worst reunion cycle for me. But this Jersey was.
Well, I'm like, then don't even do it. Then
Well, oh, for Dallas?
No. For New Jersey. Like, if this is the best they could do, I don't know. This didn't do it for me. This is, I'm like, there are better workarounds. Or, like, honestly, like, obviously, this is not, like, an original opinion. But, like, so many people are like, if Ariana could sit there with Sandoval and Raquel, if, like, all of the, like, if Candy can sit there. Like, it's like, people have sat through some of the most, like, brutal, true enemy, vile, life-ruining fights and confrontations and stuff like that on reunions. Like, these women should have stepped up and been like, we'll figure it out. I don't know if it came from production or if it came from the women or if it was like a joint. I still don't understand like how this ended up being what we did.
Yeah, I mean, I think the feeling from production is like, this isn't going to be successful if we do it. But sweetie, so is the alternate wasn't successful either. So,
right. At least like use the language that we all under, like at least like give us if they have to like take turns, be, you know, like Sheena and Raquel had to like switch spots for like legal reasons. Like you could at least like pull someone away, bring them back. Like I think there were just ways to do it because like the problem is there was no one mediating. There was no central, like there was no Andy, like there was and it's like the thing about recapping a season and like revisiting the things that have happened is like this third party neutral for the most part person who can tell some people to stop talking, who can ask sometimes like pretty pointed questions that like we are all wanting, like he is us, like he's a proxy for all of us being like, why did you say that then, like that's, and without that it's like then why. Then this is just an episode where they didn't hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an unfortunate end to this iteration of the franchise. And who knows what's going to happen? It really genuinely is a downer. I don't know. I think that it sort of feels like they did this non-reunion reunion as a favor to us, which is not, that does not land, I think, for a lot of us, or it did not land for a lot of us. It doesn't feel like we should be grateful or fortunate or understanding. It feels more inexplicable having seen it. And I don't know that we learned anything. Like, what was the point of them reacting to this? Also, was it the first time they had seen the finale? It had to have been, right? Except that doesn't make any sense.
I'm unclear on when this got taped.
I think fairly recently.
Yes.
So how is that possible that they didn't show? I mean, maybe they did what happened at the Scandoval reunion, where showing you everything but the last 5 minutes and they decided not to show the finale. I mean, people were seemingly reacting
live
from a place of honesty. I don't know. It just, the whole thing was like, what a goddamn shit show. It's so depressing. Jersey deserves more than that.
Yeah.
We deserve more than that. Lord knows we're not going to get an answer for a while. And I wish I could be hopeful in saying that that gives us a little bit more time to rest. But I just think the Jersey audience is
going
to
be like, what's happening? Where are we going? Where are we? Who's in? Who's not? What's like, do we still have a show? Is it getting rebooted? Is it getting like tinkered with? Is it canceled forever? Like what? They're going to want to know. I mean, I like Jersey. I've liked Jersey. I've like missed some seasons here and there, but like I watch it. I like those women. I always like an East Coast housewife. Like I just, but I'm not like dying for more right now from them.
What do you think of the argument that without Teresa, or maybe separate from Teresa, some people in this cast do not have a storyline because their storyline has been focused on reacting to Teresa.
I think like removing Teresa is like, I think the first step, but then like being like, okay, what's everyone doing? Where are we going? What do people want now? Like, I feel like it's been, and I don't defend Teresa ever, but like it has been like, everyone has kind of centered their world around Teresa, and not every single person, but certainly a lot of them that are related to, you know, I think that there's like, it's been so Teresa centric that like, it will be like kind of, I don't know, there's probably some great analogy that I could make right now, like removing this from this. And then it's like, what is that? But like, I can't think of it because I've only had like a little bit of coffee.
It's the morning time. Okay.
It is morning. It's not noon yet. which is when I normally rise. But there is something where it's like, there will then be like more decisions to be made after that about like, either we're bringing in some new people that maybe there's relationships, like the people that have been focused on Teresa, maybe there's like other people in their world that are allies now, but maybe they won't be. Like, I think we, like, the first step is like getting rid of Teresa, and the next step is like reevaluating, well, what about the rest of these people, and like how much of their whole existence on the show was tied up in Teresa.
I also feel like, understandably so, this show has become their lives instead of the show capturing their lives. It's really
that's something I want to talk about.
Okay, I'm super into that. I just think for everyone involved, including especially if they bring back Teresa, I just think a long break, hiatus, doing a total reset is good for everyone. I just think this environment is too toxic. I think the cast participation in that online has just crossed so many lines. It's not fun. It's dark. No. It's upsetting. It's certainly not good TV, which is honestly my number one priority as a viewer.
That's
like, give me something to, God forbid, enjoy. Like,
yes.
What happened to enjoying New Jersey? Where it's not, it doesn't feel like the...
where it was fun and loud and like, but also like, family, like it was, like, and I don't even mean the Carolyn Manzo era, but like even just in the last few years, like it's been about like, you know, the husbands are always so much a part of it in the way that other franchises hadn't been up until, like, I think Jersey was a big part of like shifting, being like, we're going to talk about our families more. We're going to talk about our husbands are going to have testimonials. Like, we're going to do that.
I mean, maybe reevaluate some of that. Maybe we've lost track of the show needing to focus on these women.
Yeah.
And I think when we've brought in some of the families, it has not been successful, especially when cast members are related to each other. So maybe it's not, maybe it's getting away from some of that.
I mean, that didn't work the first time around. Like,
I mean,
it did.
Not
until
for
it,
them, but for us.
Well, I was going to say, it didn't work for them. It did work for us. But then it ultimately ended in those people not being on the show anymore.
Right.
So it's like, does that mean, have we gone to the nth degree with Teresa, Joe, Melissa? Like, do they all just need to be gone?
Right. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels,
and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndySkrulls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndySkrulls for 15% off today. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/AndySkrulls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/AndySkrulls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
I think it's going to be a nice break for everyone. And there's something to be said because we are crossing a little bit of a finish line that so many of the episodes of AG recently have focused on New Jersey, which I think is a good thing because I feel like there's just a lot to say. There's a lot for us to process and unpack. And then we can focus on other stuff. The New York trailer drops at some point today, probably the second we finish recording.
Obviously. We should be getting some info on Southern Charm soon, I feel.
Southern Charm, but also what the fuck with Salt Lake City? We're supposed to get Salt Lake City 2 weeks ago, no?
Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah. They were like, trailer coming. And then
that was us. I think that was like someone from our... I don't think that was production. I don't think that was like the network. Okay. I think that was... Okay. I think we decided that it was going to come.
Oh, and then okay. Like, oh, and my then God, everyone's like, here? It's coming. Okay, great. Well, I fell for it.
Yeah, no, so did I. Southern Charm is soon, right?
It's got to be.
what's her face who dated Austin and then got fired? Olivia. I cannot believe that they did not offer her a return. I just thought she was the star of last season.
She did a great job.
She did. She dragged Austin to hell. We needed someone to do it to let her go. She held her own.
She did great in the reunion. She took Taylor to task. Like, for Taylor to return and not her.
Nuts.
In like such a wild choice.
There always is someone who has to be sacrificed on Southern Charm to like uphold the patriarchy. And it's really upsetting.
It is the Shep and Craig and Austin show.
Well, I mean, I love Craig, so that's fine.
Yes. Well, though, I've been rewatching from the beginning of Southern Charm, and it is like, Craig, he's grown a lot, but man, he started bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Why we appreciate him now.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a miracle. Not
knocking how incredible that kind of growth is and how rare it is to see in life and then especially on reality TV and in the South for men. The women are like constantly like, help. And like the men are like, they're like, I won't change. I'm a child who's an adult who needs your help. But
is that South specific? Is that just the world?
This
is
the
universe.
Yeah.
I feel like we see a lot of that in the Northeast as well.
We see a lot of that.
I don't know that that's a directional thing.
I don't know. I just think about like Shep and his like good old boy nonsense.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
We should be getting I think like what's been such a hard thing about the way that Jersey has kind of like fizzled out in this weird ending is we don't have anything else. Like, we have Orange County right now, but, like, it's not like this is a robust moment for Bravo. And, like, normally if something, like, it would be like, okay, maybe, like, that needs to take a back seat for a while, but, like, at least we have these other, like, it's just been this, like, focus on, like, every week it kind of got worse of, like, there's not going to be a reunion. The reunion's going to be a watch party. Well, the watch party's not even going to be everybody. Like, I feel like as that information came out, there also wasn't anything else to be focused on.
I kind of feel, too, that, you know, Bravo's in a little bit of its August era. The temps are not great. Not a lot of people are here, but we know that fall is coming.
Yes.
So I feel like Dubai is technically there. I have promised that I will watch the season. I swear that I will. I don't know the timing of when that will take place, but it is going to happen. It may be not, I don't think yet. I'm going to be catching up, but I will be beginning that journey soon enough. So Jersey's obviously not there. We have Dubai, technically. Orange County, obviously killing the game. So we have Orange County and technically Dubai. Then we have New York on the horizon.
Sure.
Premiering.
Because that's coming in October.
June. Oh, God, I don't fucking remember.
Did I make that up?
No, I don't think you did.
Feels like October.
I think it was like October 1st or something, but I'm absolutely pulling that out of my ass. And then allegedly, unless it's truly make-believe time, which Lord knows it is, someone was just posting that Two Jersey Jays is no more, but I don't think that's true. Except it probably is, and I really, truly don't understand what's happening there. But I actually would be into behind the scenes of Two Jersey Jays falling apart. And how do we feel about New York being on the horizon? Are we genuinely looking forward to it, or where would you rank? Oh, okay.
I will be watching it. I am not looking for, I am hoping to be pleasantly surprised with, you know, I know there was a little bit of retooling and some, like, we've got a, there's a one, is there one new housewife or two?
Rebecca Minkoff, and then maybe somebody else.
I feel like there's another person.
There's a friend of Jenna's.
Yes.
But I might be pulling that out of my ass.
But I think Rebecca Minkoff is a friend of Jenna's.
Yeah, Jenna has a lot of friends.
Yes.
So, I don't know what's happening.
I think, like, the show need, like, I don't want, like, a first season of anything. It's like everybody's getting used to each other. I think there were some people were miscast onto the show just in terms, like, okay, here's what I want to talk about.
Okay, tell me.
I've been rewatching old New York, like, old, like, seasons 1 through 4 of Roni.
Oh, my God.
And it is just, like, I get that there's a part of, like, I have to be like, I get that the show can't be the same anymore. Times have changed. The world has changed. The people have changed. Like, the internet went from kind of existing to kind of outweighing the importance of what happens on the show at certain times today. But there was something so deeply fun and refreshing about, like, what you said about New Jersey is, like, their whole lives are this show rather than the show capturing their lives. Old New York, like, is a perfect example of how the show used to just be capturing their lives. And I think what was so nice about it is they were in places with people. And I know that, like, COVID production and like just production in general. Like obviously the that rough COVID season of New York was like limited in like, but now I feel like all we're doing on all of these shows, but New York just used to be better about it, is going to someone's home, going to somebody's Hamptons house. We're going on a trip here, but like rarely are we at a Jill Stewart fashion show.
Mm.
Like that, like there were like moments, and it was like a lot of people getting upset was like, you know, Bethany and Jill like having words, and then Luann being like, I can't believe you're, or Kelly being like, I can't believe you're doing this at the Jill Stewart fashion show. And like her being like constantly offended by everything that happens around her. And I'm like, hello. But I think I miss them being in the world and not just in a restaurant where there happened to be like four other two tops behind them. Like they were participating in New York, and these women like live on their phones. And they're like, their jobs are influencer and reality star. And yes, like, you know, Aaron does real estate and like Jenna is an icon or like what. I know that they have jobs and like that's, but I'm just like, all we're seeing is these like very, everything feels very claustrophobic right now.
Hmm.
And that was my issue with this season of New York, is like all we saw was the six of them or four of them or two of them sitting at a table somewhere. We never saw them walking over the Brooklyn Bridge getting in a fight. You know, we never saw, like, give me like, being here and being out in the world and not just being a thing I watch on the show that like technically is in New York. And it doesn't even have to be like New York-y. You just have to be in public.
That is such a good point. And yeah, I'm thinking like they went to somebody's Hamptons house. They did XYZ, but it really wasn't. I mean, we heard about Catch, but we weren't there to film it. Like we really truly did not have those moments. Yeah. And I wonder if it's because Housewives has gotten too big to exist in the real world.
And that's like kind of the like crossroads I think all of Bravo is at right now. Because again, like you think back to old Vanderpump and how it was like they were at work. And like,
right.
And there were and like part of the game was like, you know, Lisa having a secret shopper, like as a or a secret customer, like raiding them, and like that they were at like nightclubs where like there were other people. And I just feel like Bravo has become such a cultural force with people who are such fans, and it doesn't really count when it's their restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like when it's at, I'm like, I don't, when everybody's famous and we're like, or like we're at like Jax's tent, like Jax's tent, like it's like well, that's not quite the same as like what Bravo used to be able to do. And if it can't happen anymore, it can't happen anymore. But I feel like it used to be like, I'm watching these people's lives and they're living real lives because here they are in the world.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we're so removed. It's so, we're having a lunch at 3:30 p.m. because that's when the restaurant is like closed, or there's like one, like you could feel like the Jessel and Cy lunch was very, like felt very, I was like, oh, this feels I know the, like feeling produced, and like we under, like we've been watching it for so long, we know, but I'm like, I need them to be part of the world a little bit more. And if they can't, like, then the shows and Bravo itself needs to kind of like retool a little bit to make this feel a lot less like I'm watching a cast of a show and more like a document. Like, again, it's not a documentary. It's heavily, it's half scripted at this point, but like, I don't know, that something is feeling very, not inauthentic. That's not the word I want to use, but like
isolated.
Yes. It's all feeling very like, I feel like there just did become a point where like Bravo stars got too big and like it's too much of a thing. And like the scenes are so planned about what's going to happen, as opposed to like, I don't know, send these women to a fashion show. We know two of them aren't talking to each other. Just send them next to each other. Like that used to be a thing. And I feel like we don't do that anymore.
Hmm.
Or like, I don't see that very much on the shows that I watch. And I don't watch everything. So like I could be completely ignoring, you know, some show, but.
That is a really good point. And now I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but just my instinct is like, you know, when I feel like I see a lot of the cast with people is when they go on vacations.
Yeah.
But why can't we?
Why can't we in the cities that they live in?
Right. And especially New York, it's hard when you're isolated because there's also so much pressure on the cast in that moment, even just quite literally where our eyes go, where the pressure really and the focus and the intention.
Yes.
We're nodding on the audio podcast. The focus and the attention really, truly is on the core cast. And I don't think that's helpful for New York.
No, I think like of all And it's like, I get it. Beverly Hills, they were always like, I'm in my car. And it's like, good for you. but like, there's something about New York, like the what made those women and those in the first 10 seasons of the show so dynamic is like, they did know everyone. They were just running around New York City and a camera happened to be following them. Like, yes, again, it's produced. I know that's not. But like, they were running into people, like Ramona running into people, like meeting guys. And like, I don't know, there was just like a dynamism that existed because they were like participating in society and not just like in my penthouse, in my Hamptons house. And like, and it's those women had penthouses and Hamptons houses. It wasn't that they like have more money now or something, but there's just like something missing. And I know that like the evolution of these shows, like things will change and we can't go back. We can't go back to a world where everybody didn't have a podcast. Like we can't go back to like the fact that half the action takes place between seasons for some of these people. But there just needs to, I don't know. I feel like that's why I'm kind of like dragging my feet about New York, because like it was such a powerful franchise and it was like kind of exciting in the way that New York is exciting. And I feel like this iteration of New York in the first season didn't capture that at all.
I also kind of wonder, you know, in New York originally, the focus so much, the women's attention, so much of it was focused on like society and that universe. And that has changed over the decade that followed into like influence, social media, content creation. And that's not to shit on the new cast. It's just like the environment and how the value system in some of these like greater cities and stuff has just genuinely changed and evolved, where you're looking at, look at when you get a media advisory of a specific event. It used to be like celeb, celeb, celeb. And now it's influencer, influencer, TikTok star, yada, yada, yada. It's just that kind of almost like goal setting has changed in such a way that I think that's also affected this universe, where so much of it is genuinely online versus what it used to be, which was really your only option was IRL.
Right. You had to go to big charity events. You had to fight about who was sitting at what table.
Right.
And who got a good...
Now it's follower counts.
A good step and repeat. Right. And it's like, that was interesting to watch because that's good television. I think that like, and I would say like, as somebody who writes scripted television, this is a problem in scripted television too. We live on our phones. We live on our phones and computers. We live on these other screens. And a lot of what happens to us happens inside of our phones. Really hard to televise that. It's just not that interesting to watch. Like, it doesn't mean that that drama isn't compelling and real, but it's hard to televise. And so I think that like, just the overall move to like, well, he said this on a podcast, like I'm doing that. I'm like, I have to go live for this. It's like, well, I don't want to watch you on your phone. That's not good TV. But I think that that's what a lot of like the striving that the women on this cast do. That's how it's done. But that's just not really interesting television.
That's so interesting. Also, because you think of the world and universe, and it, the show is built around saying things that you usually just think and like speaking them out loud. It's really very much focused on, and there's that need of like, you usually kind of like swallow and chew on the like, go fuck yourself. And now you're in this universe where that is expected that you say these things. And so it used to be very focused on kind of external thinking and communication. Then you think about how we have changed as society and as a people when it comes to communication. It used to be like talking on your cell phones. Then that changed to texting, where we're not even saying, it used to be you could say to somebody, go fuck yourself over the phone. Then that changed to we're literally just typing texting. Go fuck yourself over text message. So now there's the expectation of the cast to like still say to somebody to go fuck yourself, but your instinct, because this is how we have evolved, I guess, has been to train us to not speak it anymore, but still do it. And then you're trying to train yourself out of that because of being in this specific system.
Yeah.
It's like you're going against your impulses and communication evolution.
Yes.
That's a new thing I just said. In a way that is incredibly unnatural. So it's like not just the participating in the reality TV, but also how you have sort of trained yourself to speak has changed. So then that's a double pressure.
Yeah. It just like it kind of feels like a no win on these like with what where culture is and how these shows have functioned and how they are now. And like I think about Orange County and the Katie Heather stuff and how I'm like, I don't even understand what's happening with them. And it's because a lot of these fights, and like we've seen this new cast of New York certainly got into these where it's like, well, you didn't tag me in a photo. Mm. And it's like, that's just kind of like, even though I understand the drama of that, it is just less interesting television than you didn't come to my event that I threw. Mm-hmm. Like, well, where were you? Well, I was here. And then we cut to seeing somebody that like, we can't. Okay, well, this was the post and that's Heather's arm or what? Like, I don't know. And it's because it's so much of all of our lives. It, of course, is going to be like a pretty like large piece of a lot of drama mm-hmm. in these people's lives. But it just doesn't translate to being good TV 85% of the time. Because then it's just discussions about things that happened on your phone.
Right.
And I think that that's why it feels so kind of like stagnant right now on a lot of Bravo shows. Because like I'm just watching three women around a table in an empty restaurant talk about something that happened on their phones. And I just don't. It's like one of the few things that made Jersey a little bit refreshing this season is like they're, you know. We're seeing the photos of the hair. Like, I feel like some of those fights, like, didn't exist, like, fully on phones.
But then that makes me love Orange County even more, because obviously there's a big focus on Katie's weird screenshot text message situation, but it's mostly, really, truly not about phone yada, aside from Jen essentially posting on Instagram stories that she had to move all of a sudden and not telling Gina about it. Like it really, they're doing a pretty good fucking job of existing in the greater universe, or at least existing in their bubble and saying stuff out loud. We might disagree with it.
Totally.
But that's also kind of the point.
Right. Right. We should disagree with them sometimes.
All the time. All the time. I mean, there should always be a different take that is possible, either from the cast or the audience. Like, we need that kind of tension to continue to feel invested in all of this, to hope that something changes. We don't just want to see what it is
a bunch of people get along or not, like,
or us get along with all of it. I mean, that's why I think there's such an appreciation for Orange County, because it truly does not require that we agree with the behaviors on screen. It is supplying us a lot to talk about.
Yes.
And that's what we want.
That's what we need.
It makes me so appreciative for Orange County, because like, thank God we have that.
Yeah, I do feel like I had taken a few years off of Orange County and then got back in.
Okay.
Recently. Okay. Not this, maybe last season.
Yeah, last season would have been the one to get back in.
I think that's when I got back in. Yeah. Yeah.
So how are we feeling?
I'm feeling good. Mm-hmm. I hate Tamara.
Well, but like,
get her off my screen.
No. I hate her that much?
Oh,
shit.
I find the way she's treating Shannon really vile. And I think it's also because I'm like, I kind of don't, because the thing is like, I don't follow most of what happens off season.
We love.
For anybody.
You're a purist.
I'm a purist. I tune in and I'm like, what's happening? They'll tell me if they were doing shit. Like, so like, I don't quite. Like, I don't understand the falling apart of the Tres Amigas. I'm not, like, clear on what exactly. Like, if Tamara's just mad that Shannon got a DUI and is still drinking, this handling of it feels wrong for somebody that's been her friend for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's more to that, I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why she's so mad at her. So it feels, from my viewing as somebody who like doesn't follow any of them, doesn't listen to any podcasts, I see news and like Twitter and Instagram, but like I'm not really like plugged in to them like off season, except for like I knew like Alexis was like coming back because she was dating Johnny J, and I'm like, what's happening? I'm in. But like, so like I don't kind of understand the like Tamara, Vicky, Shannon, like I don't quite know what happened there. And then all I'm seeing is like Shannon seems pretty damaged, and like obviously there's like a lot going on with her and it's not always all good, and like but I don't know why the vile anger and not the concern.
I think Tamara probably feels like Shannon is minimizing Tamara's experience of being a friend, and apparently Tamara feels that it is Shannon's responsibility to be the truth teller of saying maybe how much she needed Tamara as a friend.
I see.
But I don't know how you go about doing that and talking about how exhausted you are by constantly not even belittling them, but like antagonizing them, shaming them.
Yeah.
It's just Tamara isn't doing herself a lot of favors because I think she is assuming that the cast and also the audience feels that she is the victim in this situation and also the truth teller, but she's not going about it in a way that makes that easy to understand and or track.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like tough because and it's like I always like it like bristle when people are like, you're an alcoholic, like diagnosing other people and like kind of like and I know like I talk about like I'm like sometimes I miss when they get messy and drunk and like I hope and think that that's different than like Tamara like pointing at Shannon and being like, you're an alcoholic and you still drink and I've seen you like I don't know, like it makes it a little easier for all of us to talk like that about people whose experiences, like who knows how much Tamara knows about what Shannon's actually going through, like whatever. But it makes it easy for like half the audience to be like, yeah, Shannon's an alcoholic and she's and it's like, I don't know, I'm not her doctor. Like, I don't know what she's up to. I don't know. Like I that stuff always feels a little yucky to me.
Yeah, it's giving a little like I saw Goody Proctor in the library with the rope or whatever.
And
it's like a little, especially like crucibly, when,
yeah, like in a cast where like just last week they're Tamara's dancing on the bar at what was it, the Quiet Woman? Is that what they were? Where were they dancing on the bar?
Oh, Tamara?
Yeah.
I forget. Definitely not the Quiet Woman.
No, it wasn't. It was like, but they were, it's like.
It was just a random fucking bar.
Oh, it was a dive bar.
Right.
For, okay. So it's like, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know that every single person on the show or in life has exhibited healthy relationships with alcohol, like on, so I don't know, like, what, like, maybe this isn't your fight. Like, maybe this isn't the angle to take. Or like, at least if you're gonna like focus on her drinking, like just be a concerned friend. And like, I don't know. It's like so hard because you want people to like act like you want them to act in real life if it were you. And then it's like, well, that's not very interesting television. So I get that like you have to ratchet it up and be a little antagonistic.
So you do you literally want Tamara off your screen? Like, do you want her off? What? Tell me a little bit about that.
I've always been like not a fan of her. And this, like, I find that there's like a lot of interesting stories on Orange County right now, and I don't feel like Tamara is one of them. And then all I am seeing of her is like what seems to be like shitting on her friend who's been going through a hard time. And it's like, well, I don't know. I don't really need to see you having like fun and no drama. And then that be the only real storyline that you have is like, unless there is a resolution that's coming, and I think that that would be really satisfying to see. I don't think that they're friends now. But like I am interested in like Katie and Heather and kind of like they're like just like it's kind of silly, which makes it feel like in comparison to like Jen and Gina and what Shannon's going through, like it's I feel like there's I like watching like Emily navigate this life, like I like what everybody's bringing, and I'm just like, I don't know what Tamara is bringing that makes me happy.
I mean, the benefit is Orange County right now really truly is a choose your own adventure. So if you're looking for chaos, you are going to get that with Tamara. If you're looking for kind of like newbie attempting to do sort of traditional housewifery, you're going to get that with Katie V. Dubrow. If you're looking for questions of how a person is supposed to kind of grow and, I don't know, financial, emotional, yada, yada, mature, you're going to find that with explosions between sort of Gina and herself, but also Gina and Jen. Like, you're going to get, as whatever you want to take out of this, you're going to get, which is something that seems to be rare on maybe Bravo this summer, shall we say. I don't know that I need to go like super far back.
Right, but we have been just fortunate. In recent history,
Yeah.
You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo super fan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret five S's to ageless skin. serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new JLo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that JLo glow for yourself with JLo Beauty's deluxe kit. The one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with JLo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/andyscrolls.
And so with Katie and Dubrow, what's your reaction to all of that?
I kind of don't know, like, what I was, like, trying to follow it, but I was also, like, half looking at my phone and I was like, walk me through what happened with the tagging and the, like, I don't get it.
So Katie,
but I also was barely listening. So,
well, so Katie's coming to the table. Yes. She's coming on the show and she's saying, Heather has a problem with me. So essentially I have a problem with Heather.
Yes.
And I'm going to sort of release this into the universe and show that she was kind of a dick, I guess, or that I have a problem with her. Yes. I'm coming in with,
like,
they're already being assigned
stakes. It, kind of.
Right. Yeah. Like, I coming in, I'm already having a conflict. Look at me. I'm a star.
Yes.
So she's saying she was at a Christmas party, I want to say, and Heather didn't acknowledge her. Mm-hmm. That the next day she was tagged in a photo that Heather had posted, but she wasn't in the photo. And I think Heather's response to that was, my social media person meant to tag Givenchy or something and accidentally tagged Katie's last name that I've already forgotten.
Yeah.
So there's that. And also that Katie, having watched the show last season, saw that there was a storyline around someone in the cast, it may have been Tamara, I forget who, referencing there being tabloid rumors that Heather and Terry were, yes, in trouble. And right after that, there was this seemingly posed shot of, yes, them at Disneyland, yeah, that was, like, very much like she's, like, leaning up against him or, like, jumping,
like,
into his arms kind,
fine,
of thing.
Yeah.
Everything is great and the happiest place on earth. And so it looked like they had called the paparazzi. And so Katie's response is, you lied when you said you didn't. And I have proof, which is a screenshot from someone. We don't know who that is. Their name is cropped out. And it's not really, like, Heather Gay style screenshots,
right,
proof,
yes,
yada, yada. It's just someone, Katie, sending her some like Instagram something and saying, can you confirm that Heather called the paparazzi, and this person saying yes. And I have to say, I listened to Dumois' podcast this week because, or maybe it was from last week, but I listened to it yesterday because she had Jeff Lewis on, and I'm a chump. So I
sure
listened to his radio show, and she was saying from, you know, her context in the paparazzi universe, that she got confirmation or believes very strongly that Heather did not call the paparazzi, because I guess if you look at that photographer's credits, they are sort of a Disneyland specific paparazzi who just, like, hangs out and gets shots,
she's
of celebrities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, like, there, I think a lot of celebrities do move through Disneyland.
Right.
And I think you could probably just park it there any average day and likely catch someone.
Yeah, and maybe they got a heads up that they were going there, but that doesn't mean that Heather actually
calls
contacted.
Yeah.
The timing of it, the thing that is interesting and adds a layer of tension is what Katie is doing by connecting this to tabloid rumors, the dot, dot, dot of our memory of tabloid,
yes,
rumors that their marriage was in trouble, which I personally do not believe for a single second.
I don't either.
But that's what makes it interesting, is the, like, you needed to do this, quote unquote, because
you fight these rumors.
Right. That's, like, what brings it to a different,
yeah,
level.
Yes. It's not just like, oh, like, you planted something in the press. Like, it's, like, actually in Katie's mind to cover up for a much larger. Right.
Right.
Katie's saying, like, you called the paparazzi for these romantic photos so that people wouldn't believe the rumors, quote unquote, which are, quote unquote, true about your marriage falling apart.
Right. And also
from Katie's perspective, not mine.
Right. And also, if you're going to lie about this, what else are you lying about?
Right. Which is always, like, a very interesting housewives, mm-hmm, kind of take to have, mm-hmm, because I think you pull that thread on any of them and it becomes, like, like, it's just like the longer you've been on the show, the more likely somebody can weaponize that against you.
100%. So now Katie is in this really interesting situation where this is her esophagus. Like, this is her esophagus,
yes,
moment. And she's maybe going to carry this with her. But the difficulty is, from what I have, like, seen of the housewives talking around this while doing press, it appears that she may be, but I don't know, this might be someone wanting us to feel this way, but that it maybe ends up being a little bit of a flop. Like, her evidence doesn't,
yeah,
really pan out, which I don't think it requires watching a housewife do a TV interview to kind of see that coming. Because this screenshot is not, this is not the kind of,
no,
like,
this isn't like a, I have an email from my friend who is a paparazzi. Like, it's just like, random.
Well, it's also Katie's asking us to trust her that this person,
right,
that we know that Katie, first off, has the kind of contacts that she says she has, and also that this is the person who would have that answer and information when we don't know who that person is. We yeah. also don't know who Katie is.
Well, that's the thing that's like so, you know, short-sighted is like mm-hmm. to like start being like, you lied about this. What else are you lying about? But it's like, who are you? Yeah. Like, we know who Heather is. Mm. Who are you?
And the difference for me with
Katie... I like her. I like her being on the show. I'm excited about her.
What, about Katie?
Yeah.
So the difference for me with Katie is, like, I think about Jen, and Jen came to the show with just a lot of fucking shit to discuss. She had her weird bedazzled jean jacket boyfriend. She's going through some financial stuff. We are seeing her as a mom and parenting. Like, there are complications with her friendship with Tamara. There's questions about whether or not her devoted boyfriend is going to cheat on her as he has every other woman he's ever been with.
Yes.
There's a lot of stakes in how she met him and got divorced. And there's just a lot of complications there. So she had the benefit, I guess, of having so much happening yes. in her life that she didn't need to fall back into doing the work of housewifery, or that's just not who she is. And right. we are the better for it.
Yes.
Then we have Katie, who, God bless her, has seemingly like a stable personal life, yeah. which is great for her in life, but does not necessarily indicate that there's going to be a lot of like nuanced, complicated stuff here right. that feels cinematic levels. So I think she probably feels some sort of pressure of like,
I need to bring something to this. Right. And I need to like, I'm going to, you know, it's prison rules of like go up and like Heather yeah. is powerful. Heather yeah. is like,
she needed
Heather
a shiv.
Is a little bulletproof in mm-hmm. a lot of like, she is actually so rich in this, you know, in the, with those other women having so many financial problems.
Yeah.
And like, she is in a happy marriage with kids that she, I think, actually like participated in raising. And like, mm-hmm. like there, it like Heather is kind of like a model for like, wow, that's who you would want to be. And therefore mm-hmm. like, obviously the first person to try and take down if you're somebody like Katie. Coming in fresh. I don't know. I'm interested.
It's also tough because I don't know how much of this was her decision. It's still her responsibility regardless, but I don't know how much of this was like, you'll be great in the cast. And look, you already have some like tension with Heather. So
yeah.
let's bring that to the table versus I'm just a person showing up. I seem to love my husband, love my kids, you know, great life, write about golf, even though I don't know how to play it. Fascinating journey sure. there.
Yes. But very interesting.
Right. But she doesn't have, I mean, you could say join the cast and be more of an observer at first, but maybe she just.
But I think the risk is like, if you don't really do much, everybody's like, what's she doing here? Let's get her out of here. Not the cast, but like viewers are like, you know, if you're going to be on my TV and not be like, I think she's funny, I think, but like, if you're going to show up and not be like a major drama kind of instigator or participant, mm-hmm. then you need to be like very funny or very something, or like, I don't know. You would really need to be like bringing it in another arena, which like, it doesn't mean I don't think Katie can, but I think mm-hmm. that that's like a tougher hill.
Maybe this is unfair of me to say, but I actually don't think it would have been the worst idea if she came in and was kind of a background actor.
Well, I think
there's so many colorful personalities.
And I think also there's a lot going on Orange County right now. Yeah. And like, I think I'm trying to think of like a good example of like a season of a franchise where it's like when there isn't a lot going on and then there's a new person who's like, hi. And everyone's like, I don't know. Like, just like, what are we doing here? Like, if there's only one storyline and you're not a part of it, then you're kind of just like, you guys want to see my house? It's yeah. like, not really.
Well, there was this idea, I think, and critique against Julia on Miami for being maybe too normal.
Yeah.
Even though she's got all these farms and the chickens and the roosters and the diapered goat or whatever. Like,
sure.
she had stuff going on, but she also seemed to be pretty much a relatively normal person on this show, filled with like very colorful, wild characters. Yes. I mean, Larsa Pippen alone. And so I think about Katie a little bit, just in thinking of, would it have been the worst, even though you don't also have a diapered goat? Like, would it have right. been the worst idea to just kind of like join this universe? And in the ways that some of us don't like critiquing a housewife in her first couple yes. episodes because we're still getting to know this person.
Right.
Did Katie do that? Did she give herself a little bit of a chance to sit back, or was she kind
participate
of participate
a bit?
Right. Was she told she had to go in?
Go for Heather.
Right.
Or go for someone. Like, bring in, you know. And it's like the fact that she's like having lunch with Sutton, I'm like, oh, you came like guns blazing. Like, I'm bringing another housewives. I'm like, not that I don't think they actually know each other. I suspect that they do. It just felt like a lot at the top.
Mm.
And I think a hard to sustain momentum for someone new.
And I don't put that entirely on her. I
no,
think production
that's
was
production
like,
too.
We want, and also they hit it out of the park with Jen. They've had so many one season wonders. They really wanted to give
Orange
Katie
County has so many.
So many. They wanted to give Katie like the best possible chance. But I just think she's doing this thing. It's just really delicate to navigate where she's now being constrained by this idea and by her fighting with Heather and then upset at Gina for not sacrificing herself in support of her new friendship with Katie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's there's just a lot here, and she's swinging a lot. She's sort of playing Housewives like she plays golf, and it's not really, I mean, truly, it's not really. I don't know. I'm not saying, you know, I want this to work out because I really do like Jen an awful lot. And I think in my head, I need to do a better job of separating Jen and Katie. I don't want to introduce another person next season.
No.
So I would love for Katie to work out.
I would love for them to carry like this cast to another season in entirety.
But I think it's going to be tough. I think Katie's probably making it tough for herself, and that's difficult.
Yeah. And then you think about like, well, what's Katie without Heather? And that becomes a really big issue when, like, you come for one person out the gate. Is like, well, I don't know you without the context of this person. What else are you up to? Like, how, you know, it's like, yes, you're going on walks on stairs with, like, other women. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's like, I need a little bit more because you think about, like, if Heather suddenly decided, like, I'm worried about Terry's health. I want to become an actress again. I wanted, like, she could walk away at any time. She could petition to move to Beverly Hills and I could see them doing that. Like, without her, what are you if all you've been is coming for this one person so far?
Yeah. And if I was a member of the cast looking at Katie's behavior, I don't know. I think it would be tough to be like, let's form a friendship because this person is already maybe just even on the basis of housewife work, she's not making some great move strategically. So is that who I want to align with? And also, do I really want to piss off Heather by doing this thing?
Right.
Like by making Katie seem better, which is helping Katie. If she's already come for Dubrow and I was Dubrow, I would be like, none of you don't help this.
Yes.
Don't help this gal.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be pissed at you if you do. That then becomes incredibly complicated.
And then it's also easy to turn the like, you've lied about this, what else are you going to lie about? But like somebody could point at her and be like, you came and took down Heather for no reason. What's to say you're not going to do it to me? Like it's like that logic, like for the other women, like I could be like, well, even if this gets resolved, I don't feel like you're not going to just pick something and come for me someday.
I watched the most recent episode of Orange County and it felt long. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It just felt like
a lot's happening.
A lot is happening. Sometimes you watch these episodes and it's gone in a minute and a half.
You're like, what happened?
And this, I'm like, oh, there's still literally like 35 minutes left.
Yes.
It just felt like there was a lot to take in. That is a positive thing versus, God forbid, you know, trigger warning, New Jersey, where it's like this, I'm never going to be done with this.
Right.
This just feels like it's living inside of me.
Yes.
With Orange County, I'm just like, oh, they're just giving us a lot. There's a lot to discuss. I hope that Tamara somehow figures out a way to make this more complicated because right now it's just coming across as one note. And that's not helpful for us when she's expecting us to feel that there are more notes here.
Right.
But
she's just leaning into the anger and not into any of like her own. And I think like that's what's tough about Tamara is like her vulnerability is like so hard to access. And it's like if you would just say like even in a testimonial, it doesn't have to be to another woman or to Shannon or what. But if she was just like, I feel hurt as a friend. And then she's out here. You know, she doesn't even say like she's risking our job as like this touring show, which like I would understand that. But she doesn't even really lean into that. She's just like, you're drinking. I hate you. Like just yelling at her at a table. And I'm like, oh, this isn't you're not giving me a case for why like I should have any sympathy for you when I think there is probably a reason to have sympathy for you.
Yeah. And I think Tamara is looking to exacerbate any possible like vulnerability or complexity, maybe poorly, when it comes to her friendship with Shannon, because unfortunately for Tamara, she seemed like a solid, stable marriage.
Yeah.
She seems like she and Eddie are like in it to win it.
Yeah.
It seems very just like supportive. He gets it. He understands it. God bless him. He doesn't want to be super involved in it.
Yeah.
This is the best case scenario for any housewife ever. Yeah. Amen. Like that would be a detriment on New Jersey, but no other franchise on the planet, and also IRL, that you want the guy who's supportive of you, who doesn't want to be on this show with you in an equal part, like best case scenario. And I think like the CBD stuff, all of that is going really well. So she really, and the kid stuff, we can't really get into. It's she tries with her child who's slightly uncomfortable with it. She doesn't want to get into a lot with Simon, understandably so. So when she tiptoes around it, I feel uncomfortable.
I would prefer if it just was never brought up on camera.
Same. I think she did like a small amount and that's where it is. And that's kind of where we need to be right now. So I think for her, like, where is her challenge coming from? It has to deal with Shannon. She needs to put everything into this.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately for Tamara, it seems like her life is actually like
stable,
pretty stable, which is great for her in life.
Personally.
But challenging for her on Housewives.
And Tamara really likes being hard. Like she likes being like, I tell like it is. I'm a tough bitch. I'm wearing a leather jacket. I'm not taking this from you. Like what, you know, like she likes having that harder edge.
Yeah.
And like we're not seeing a softer side of her anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's kind of like bumping me with her.
100%. But like, God bless us. God bless us for, you know, what this season is bringing. Honestly, it's giving us a lot. I look forward to more. And that's the best case scenario that we can have. And, you know, Jersey, we're putting to bed.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Jackie does with her cute little spinoff and what that means for her friendship with Jen Fessler, who actually I just decided in my head out loud, but internally now I'm making it out loud. Fun times with words that I think I might ask Jen Fessler to come on the pod.
I think you should. I kind of like her.
So do I.
There's something about her that I'm just like, yeah, this works.
100%. Also, I watched the aired version. I didn't watch the Peacock version of the non-finale. The non-reunion reunion alternative.
I can't remember which
one
I watched.
And I guess she sings at the end. Did you get to see her sing? She, or maybe she like plays a guitar or something.
Oh, I saw like a clip of her playing.
So I missed all of that.
I don't think it was on the aired version.
So I don't think so either. Yeah, so I need to, maybe I'll ask her to bring her guitar and we'll just have a little sing-along and see what happens. I would be curious for that.
Yeah.
When it comes to people who I would love to have in the cloth to talk about NJ, I actually think Fessler could be a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
So, you know, may the memory of two J's in a pod or whatever the fuck it's called be a blessing. Or maybe it's still a thing. Who knows? How are we beginning and ending by focusing on Jackie? That feels interesting. That feels like something.
A strange circle.
It missed the mark a little bit in my spirit. But
you know what? That's okay.
That's okay. Much like Jackie, that's okay. Listen, Allison Livey, can you tell the AGs a little bit about Ruined, where they can follow you on social, all that and more?
Sure. My podcast, Ruined, which I do with my co-host Hallie, where every episode she ruins a horror movie for me because I refuse to watch them, and she's like a lover of the genre. So if you're scared, it's great because you get to know what happens. And if you love horror, she also does, so she does a great job talking about it. We have a live in-person show happening Wednesday, September 4th at Caveat on the Lower East Side in New York. Hallie is going to be in New York, which is thrilling for me. And we're going to ruin the new M. Night Shyamalan Josh Hartnett movie, Trap.
Wow, which I heard was terrible.
Yes, Hallie is like, I can't wait to tell you about this. It's like illogical in all of the ways that M. Night is like, like ends up being in a lot of his more recent movies. So we're ruining that live September 4th. A Wednesday night, I think it's at 7 p.m. You can also stream it if you're not in New York or you can't make it. But it'll be a good episode. So you can follow us at Ruined Podcast on Instagram and wherever else. And you can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. And you can come see us at Caveat September 4th.
Incredible. And guys, follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Join the AG Patreon. Number one way to support the pod to get exclusive bonus episodes like a two-part Satchel Spectacular featuring your Satchels of Gold on all things NJ, about 20 of them over the course of a two-hour two-parter. You can listen to that at patreon.com/andysgirls. Allison Livey, thanks so much for coming back.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks to you for listening. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Balls. here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.